97.5, The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to
rock. Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on a Tuesday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We are, you know, there's a song out there. Nobody's really heard it except me. That's an alt song, and it's by the band Passion Pit. It's called The Reeling. I heard it today, and I go, well, that song really is about the Eagles fan base. We're in a reeling. We haven't been in this kind of a reeling in a really long time. The last thing I can remember was Andy Reid was slogging along of a 4-12 season, and every week was miserable. And we're kind of in that same mode right now. And I've been thinking of Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. And I remember the days when, and everybody remembers the days, when Andy Reid would have refused to do something. Like he would refuse to run the ball. It was maddening. And one game they played, I think it was the Bengals, and they were horrible against the run. He wound up throwing it 60 times. And I got to the point with Andy Reid towards the end where I almost thought Andy Reid was trying to spite the fan base. Like, he had that kind of, he would never outwardly express it, but like deep inside, I thought he was sinister sometimes to say, yeah, that's what they want. I'm going to do the opposite. Screw them. And I think Doug Peterson has the same thing. And when you talk about, like, when we ask them the same questions over and over, there are things that two things they don't do. They don't stick to the run, and they don't roll Carson Wentz out of the pocket, where both those things we think would benefit, and experts have said, would benefit the Philadelphia Eagles offensively. And he, every week he goes, yeah, I got it. I got to call more of that. And he doesn't do it. And I think he doesn't do it. And I could be totally misguided because I'm really down on this dude right now. So I'll believe anything. I think that he is saying, I'm not going to give in to you. I think he has developed this arrogant callous about him where he can't afford to have people say, see, I told you so. That's what I believe. Now, you might not believe that. You might think that's sinister. You might think my mind is playing tricks on me, that I'm going too far. But just judging by his demeanor over the last several weeks, the last thing he's going to do is give in to what the media has asked him about, or hence what his fan base thinks he should do. Because that would make him look silly if it works. You see what I'm saying here? So he would rather go, yeah, my quarterback stinks. And everybody's looking at it like it's his fault. So I'm not going to give in to these people. If I accommodate him, I make our team better. I'm giving in to people. Now, that's a horrible thing to think. And I'm ashamed for thinking it. But I'm not so sure that I'm not close to the truth with that. So let's get some like comments on it right away.
Well, I would like to not believe that. Mm-hmm. But the problem is both of them are so obvious that you start to wonder, why wouldn't he do it?
Uh-huh.
Because the quarterback is struggling. Everyone in the city is saying it. There's not a single person left in the world that is pretending that Carson Wentz is playing well. This show obviously included. Therefore, why wouldn't you try something different? If a guy is struggling and you're adamant that he's still going to start, you would then try to do things to help him. In theory, if you actually wanted him to succeed. But if you're being stubborn, like you mentioned, that would explain why he would leave him in there, but not at all change the approach to what he's doing, which hasn't worked so far this entire year.
Mm-hmm.
There's people also that say on film that the Eagles have become very predictable and they're doing the exact same things. I'm talking about the play calls, not the quarterback's execution or the receiver's execution even. The play calls are damn near the same play calls as last year. So teams had a full offseason to scout it. Maybe they've caught up to it, and now it's time to go to plan B and make them then adjust to that. Because, you know, it's a cat and mouse game. Therefore, I have to kind of buy what you're saying, because what's the other explanation for not trying?
Well, here's where I'm tripped up. Because sinister thinking like that means that you have a more complex brain than I think he has. So, because I don't think he's a real smart guy. And to be sinister, you kind of have to have some wheels that are turning. I don't think there are any wheels turning up there. So that's where I'm trapped. And this is where I need help from the fan base here. But I found it interesting that in his game after press conference, he went through the whole gamut of blaming a lot of people and not himself. And he said, you know, in this it's all about the quarterback and the coach. Well, there's, you know, all positions. Receivers can play better. Your offensive line can play better. You know, and he went on and on and on. We need to hang on to football. Quarterback needs to play better. Defensively, we got up to the field in the third down. We got to be able to tackle better. Same way on special teams. You got to be able to. Let me ask you a question. Who are all those things under?
Him.
Of course. He's the coach. If every element of his team is not working, it's his fault. And a lot of it's his fault.
And you brought up Andy, and we got tired of it. Him saying, I have to do a better job. I have to do. But by him being so, first of all, he knew what he wanted to say when he stepped out of there. He was prepared. Andy also was pretty quick on his feet. It ran its course here. When he left, he had to leave. But for the most part, he had a fairly successful tenure. And one thing he stayed true to publicly was, I'm going to take the bullets for my players, and then I'll deal with them privately.
Mm-hmm.
What this coach is trying to do is deflect blame from himself and then not throw guys under the bus at the same time, and it's not possible. And that tells me he doesn't have a plan when he goes up there.
You see, here's the thing. We can put all this, you can put it together for yourself. He is so tired of being questioned now. He doesn't like it at all. He you know, at first, he looked like he was okay, can bounce off things. But he's really tired of being questioned. To the point where earlier this season, he gave you that, I played in the NFL and you didn't. So what I'm saying is, if he does things that the amateur suggests, that would make him look terrible. And he doesn't want to even go there because he played in the NFL and nobody else did.
But his quarterback, they asked the quarterback, and the quarterback is as diplomatic. He doesn't throw anybody under the bus, by the way, ever. Uh-huh. And nor should he. I'm just saying he doesn't. He even mentioned, when asked directly, yes, I like those rollout plays. I like doing that.
He said love.
Right. So
He said love.
I love running those. So couldn't the coach then say, forget the people for a second. My quarterback, who's struggling mightily, and everyone knows it, he has to know it. The whole city, the whole nation knows that the quarterback stinks. I ran these plays not for any of y'all. I still hate all of you. I ran them because my quarterback likes them. Couldn't that be enough of a reason?
Well, how many weeks has his quarterback liked him?
He liked him his whole life.
Exactly. So, like, why would he only get the message now?
That's a good
point. He knows, like, he has to know. Maybe he doesn't because he's not smart. But he has to know that the quarterback at this point would be a little more comfortable doing some things that are more innate and more natural for him. And he just doesn't respond to it.
I feel like Doug feels like probably gets more out of it if he does it his way and it works. And that's the only way that he wants to do it. He doesn't want to concede that maybe the way that he's doing it isn't effective.
All right. Well, on this, I just had a thought. You know, because I went through this with Andy Reid. I was determined. At the time, I'm going, he doesn't want to do it because he can't stand the fact that people want him to do it. Like, he was that type of guy. He was, at the end of the day, he was pretty insecure and pretty believer in, like, what he did was the best. That's why it took him so long to get the receivers. It took him so long to do certain things.
Yeah. Also, doesn't Doug have to recognize, this is actually makes me another reason why I might believe what you're saying, even though I don't want to. He has a really young receiving core who's struggling to run precise routes. Like, that's a fact. Like, the quarterback stinking does not mean the receivers are good. Like, it doesn't mean just because Wentz is bad that, oh, yeah, well, these receivers are Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. That is not the case right now. They also stink as far as running routes. Wouldn't moving the pocket and rolling out the quarterback give those guys to let some of their natural athleticism shine right now instead of them having to run these precise routes that they're not, like Jaws said it, apparently anybody that's watched the film, I'm seeing 1,000 breakdowns where the corners are standing flat-footed. The Browns corners, and not even because they don't have to even be on the balls of their feet and react to everything because they're not threatened at all by these receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start running around, that now causes these guys who seem like they're good athletes to maybe get confident and hey, I can scurry around and find an open spot and maybe help them too. And he has to know that because we're coming. You didn't tell me what you were going to talk about today. This is off the top of my head. You're going to tell me an NFL head coach couldn't figure out whom my young receivers might like to do a little bit of scramble drill because things aren't working right now? Like, if I can figure it out and the callers can figure it out and everybody on social media can figure it out, that tells me that he knows and just won't.
Well, let's take the most recent example. 2 weeks ago, they were the same questions about getting him outside the pocket. So they go into this game. How many times did he do it?
Once.
Once in 41
dropbacks.
So what does that mean? Does that mean he's just not, he just doesn't want to give in? I mean, it has to.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I don't like to think like that because I want him to think that, hey, everybody makes mistakes. He's just making an honest mistake. But it seems worse when it's this obvious.
And it's also, like, he's opened the door. It's like in a courtroom. You can pursue a certain line of questions and the other side opens the door to it. He's opened the door by being, did you play in the NFL? You play quarterback in the NFL? So he's already sensitive to it. How dare people question me? I play the NFL. Who are these schmoes shining their own shoes asking me a question like this?
Yeah.
I don't shine shoes anymore. I know they ain't go up there and tell you. 610-632-0975.
Go get your shine box.
All right, we'll talk about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm like off base totally. But I'm just trying to put two and two together here. And again, we're in the reeling. So let's try to talk our way out of it. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mastelli Show. Radio, TV. Back after this.
The Mike Mastelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:48. Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Well, interesting news coming out of Mexico here. If you watch the World Series, the breakout star in that World Series was Randy Rosarena. And he was arrested in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico after an altercation with his ex-wife and his ex-father-in-law.
Yikes.
He was in the process of forcibly trying to take his daughter and got into an altercation.
That's
sounds messy.
That sounds messy. It's a little different when they first just say domestic violence. I appreciate you reading that out. That's different than if he was just swinging on his ex-wife or any woman, which would be bad. This sounds like a unfortunate custody situation where he may be wrong, but not as heinous as just punching a woman.
Yeah. I don't know that much about how they treat these things in Mexico.
Right. And that'd be something to something to find out. So
now, he's not a Mexican baseball player.
No.
He's a Cuban.
Right.
So
he probably he's probably funneled through to get to America because that's what happens.
Yeah, he played in Mexico.
Right.
That's where obviously he probably met this woman.
Yeah, that's a tough deal.
Defected from Cuba to Mexico before he came to the States.
Yeah, I hope he didn't strike any woman, but this sounds like it was he's trying to take his kid, which I can understand more than I can't understand hitting a woman at all. So this is a little bit different.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Anton in Rittenhouse, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anton?
Yo, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Anton?
So, listen, here's a scenario I wanted to give you. Like, you know, all the teams in the division are, you know, they're not doing well. And the difference between the draft pick of winning the division and like not winning the division is pretty much going to be like a good 14, maybe 10 spots, you know, because I think the winner of the division probably going to get the 18th pick. And then the other three guys going to be picking in the top 10.
Yeah.
So I guess my.
So you want to lose the for better draft pick?
No. My question to you is, don't you think the winner of the division, because all three teams are pretty bad, is really at a disadvantage going forward?
Well, this year they are, yeah. But not in general. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
Well, all right. So here's the thing. The top five draft pick is just not about the first round. It's about the entire draft. So you're drafting higher all the way through. The players that stick in the NFL are supposed to be the top 100 of the draft, like the first three rounds, right? So, I mean, don't...
Yeah, I mean, who knows? After the first round, it's probably a crapshoot. But I'm not feeling your point here. This is just one of those fluke years where the winner of a division is going to have six wins.
The entire division is about to get better as opposed to the winner who's going to be relatively...
That's the hardship of it. But it's unnatural that this is going to happen, you know, once in every 25 years is going to happen?
No. I get that, how often it happens, but I'm just saying, all right, here's my... Washington, they're probably going to go for a quarterback. You know, they're going to get one of those. It's like 3 to 4 like highly rated NFL quarterbacks out there in the draft this year.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, obviously the Eagles could use a quarterback. I mean, you don't know what Jalen Hurts really
is. No, they're not. They wouldn't draft a quarterback.
They wouldn't, but still, they could use help elsewhere. I'm just saying that the loser of the three losers of this division have a chance to, because this is such a fluke here. It's not going to be like that. And I think the high draft pick.
You're stating something that's true. But I don't know what you want me to say about it. It's like, unless you want me to say the Eagles are better off not winning the division.
I do want you to say that.
Well, I couldn't care less at this point. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to care about them winning a division, having another week in a playoff game. I don't care anymore. Whatever they decide to do is fine. Let me give you a name. Comfort or no?
Okay.
All right. So I give you. Let me give you the name. Robin Roberts. Comfort or no?
Basketball lady, right?
She's on it. She does the morning show. Good Morning America. She used to be on ESPN. Yeah.
She used to play college basketball. I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. No comfort in Robin Roberts. I mean, she's so like innocuously nice that
I love her.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's an icon, cancer survivor.
She's amazing and so good at her job.
Yeah, I didn't expect anybody to say no on her.
Actually, when I went to see GMA last year, I had tagged her and just said how she was an inspiration, and she commented and thanked me.
Oh, yeah, you went to see GMA?
Yeah, when they were down on the parkway.
Oh.
Yeah, it was neat. I wanted to see it live. It was cool. I was like right up front. Yeah, but she's the type of person that would respond. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's nice of her. All right, let me give you guys one.
Last caller, in the last 12 years, you know, he's worried about old high draft picks.
Yeah.
Washington has had a winning record 2 of the last 12.
Yeah.
So they've had to have dry draft.
Listen,
because you pick high doesn't automatically mean you draft well.
You'd rather pick high, but it's not to be all end all where you're going to, like, because you can't get where the Jets are. So what's the difference?
Right. They already won too much to get to where the Jets are.
Right.
They already, 3 is too many.
Yeah. All right, let me give you one. Mario Lopez. Comfort or no?
No.
No?
Big opposite of a fan of Mario Lopez.
You're a big no on Mario, huh?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
Well, the story that his ex-wife said, and like, I don't try to cape for the women often, but it was so heinous what he pulled on his honeymoon. Not like abusive, where he, he was like, honey, he told her, I'm going to take a walk on the beach. She was tired.
No, he didn't scam on somebody else, did he?
Yeah, while on his honeymoon.
Ooh.
At the resort.
It's like Tom Cruise in the Firm.
Yeah, like while she's like the honeymoon, she's taking a nap. He walks to the beach.
Oh, no way. He didn't do that. Come on, Mario.
Did. And then I'm like,
he's Mario. He's a beautiful man.
So
Mario.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Just don't get married. Don't get married in that case. And keep on doing your thing.
Nat,
once you get married.
Comfort or no, Nat?
Well, he comforted me as... AC Slater, but once he started on, I think, what's he on, E and all that
extra
stuff. He's
an extra guy. Yeah.
He's a little much for me at this point.
Yeah, no comfort.
He doesn't bring me comfort anymore.
All right. 4 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
He joins us every Tuesday. That's why it's called Tuesdays with Sal Pal. He, of course, is Sal Pal Antonio, the great NFL reporter for ESPN. And he is brought to us by Fox Bet. Hey, Philly fans, if you love football, don't just bet on football. Instead, Fox Bet on football. Download the Fox Bet Sportsbook app and get in on the action. $1 bet pays $50 in free bets if Philly scores. Don't just bet Fox Bet. Hello, Sal Pal.
Happy Thanksgiving to Al and his entire family. What a great guy.
Yes, yes. And happy Thanksgiving to your family and everybody out there that's in the listening audience as we continue to get through this torturous Philadelphia Eagles season. And so let me just start it with this. I know you're a Doug Peterson guy. I, however, am not. And I need to ask you here, why in the world would they run 41 snaps for this quarterback and move him only out of the pocket once when it seems very clear to a lot of people, and including maybe his own staff, that this guy who has broken his head might benefit from getting outside the pocket?
It's a complete mystery to me. It's a complete mystery. I don't think anybody has a real clear answer other than they just don't do it. Haven't done it. It's not in the game plan. And now everybody is keying off on Carson Wentz, and they have been all season long. And I picked them to beat the Browns. I thought the Browns were eminently beatable. I don't think much of their offense. I just think that was a game that was ripe for the taking, and the Eagles did not show up. They were not prepared. They had a bad game plan. And I think Carson right now, as you said, needs to hit the reset button, Michael. They need to hit the reset button on the quarterback.
All right, so what does that mean? Does that mean you would replace him?
I'll tell you what I think it means. I think, you know, I was there in 2008 in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium.
Yep.
When Andy Reid benched Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb had gone to a Super Bowl 4 years earlier. He nearly won it. And he benched him. And I remember asking Andy Reid in the post-game press conference, why did you do it? I was the one who asked the question. And he said, sometimes you have to go back an inch to go ahead a mile. And it hit the reset button for Donovan McNabb. It made him appreciate what he had and what he was losing. And it also sent a message to the locker room that everybody is accountable. Everybody. Doesn't matter if you're making $100 million or $1 million. And I think the time is right to do that. I really do. I think the time is right. I'm not saying it's a permanent move to Jalen Hurts. I'm saying that Carson Wentz needs to hit the reset button.
So like a hitter in a slump, you hold him out of the lineup in hopes that he'll regain whatever it was he had.
And everybody in the world hits the reset button. Doesn't matter what your job is. Hey, Mikey, I've been told to hit the reset button. I know you've been told to hit the reset button.
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's the painful thing that you have to go through. Ron Jaworski was benched. Donovan McNabb was benched. Why is Carson Wentz immune to sitting a little bit and watching?
Oh, well, you heard what he had to say when asked the question. He said that would be giving up on the season.
Yeah, well, here's my reaction to that. You're talking about Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson said that, yes.
I really thought that was the wrong thing to say. I really did. I think he insulted the team. The team knows Wentz has not been the savior of anything. By saying they can't do without Wentz, Peterson is insulting his own team's intelligence. And he insulted and may have derailed Jalen Hurts. I mean, the guy was a second-round pick, supposed to figure prominently into the offense. Instead, he's been used sparingly, which suggests one of three things, right? Hurts is not ready, has not been made to be ready, or stands in the way of Wentz's fragile psyche. So now Peterson is suggesting playing
Hurts tanks the season? How is that helpful to anybody or anything? I just don't get it. And thirdly, he insulted the fan base. We can all see. We've all watched football our whole lives. We've all watched football our whole lives. And everybody can see that the guy needs to be held accountable on the field. And it's not happening. And so I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is the answer long term, but I am saying it's time to send a message. And the message to the locker room, the right message, is that everybody's held accountable.
You know, that's an interesting point you bring up. So speaking of messages, what messages is he not sending right now? Because I can think of a message at left tackle. I can think of a message of a wide receiver who can't play anymore, who has taken time away from other guys. Like, a coach has to be in charge of all that to be accountable in his locker room. Now, why is he not? What is the, I mean, you know the guy. What is it that's restricting him from holding people accountable?
You know why I have loved this job? Many, many reasons, but being a reporter and being in a locker room is so great. You know why? Because you've been in there. You know. You know when you go into a locker room, you can't lie to these guys. They all know what's up. They all know what's up all of the time. They're on top of each other. Their lockers, they are shoulder to shoulder, butt naked to one another. All secrets are out in the open. And so when you make those kinds of decisions, and they all watch film of one another, they have film sessions together, and coaches and players are calling one another out. And when you make those kinds of decisions where you're not holding people accountable, Mike, it becomes readily apparent instantaneously to everybody in the locker room, and it sends the wrong message. You know that.
I'm just going to say that I'm sure factions are now building up in that locker room where...
No, we don't know that, and I'm not going to speculate about that. I'm sure, hey, you and I have been in enough professional locker rooms, professional and college, know that that's probably taking place, but I'm not going to speculate about that because I'm in COVID.
I get it, but it's only natural because you're right. These guys know what's up. And there are a lot of people now that don't believe in this quarterback that maybe the change is necessary. So are you saying that you would start Hurts in this Monday night game?
On Monday night, I would start Hurts on national TV. Yes.
Wow.
I'm saying it. It would send the most powerful message that you possibly can. I would get him ready. He's got an extra day, and I would start him, and I would play him.
All right, so let me ask you then. If they lose,
who replaced Donovan McNabb in that game? Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, it was Kevin
Cobb. What did Kevin Cobb do? He threw a pick six to Ed Reed that went 103 yards, and the Eagles got waxed by the Ravens in that game.
Yeah, so it was real easy to get back to McNabb. So what I'm asking you...
That's my point. That's it. That's it. So if you go to Hurts, it's like going to Cobb. You know, you're probably not going to get much, and you go back.
But suppose you do. Suppose you like win the game because the kid runs 65 yards for a big touchdown.
And then you know we got a different Christmas.
All right. So if you're saying this is what'll probably happen. It won't be beat the Seahawks, but it'll give Wentz the reset button, and then when the following week comes, it's a better Wentz,
Mike.
I guess.
Hey, Mike. If you're sitting on the bench on Monday Night Football in your own stadium, don't you think your rear end is going to be majorly chapped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is he a guy that can get majorly chapped?
Let's see how he responds. And, you know, but there's another point, and I've been listening to your show all day. It's a great show today. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Very smart, interesting conversation. People are weighing in, and they're making great points. And your responses to them have been right on. Here's the thing that I would like to remind, and I've never been a fire the coach guy, right?
Yeah.
But here's what I would like to remind people. When you decide that you're firing the coach, you better have an idea of who you're going to replace him with.
Yeah, he's not going to get fired.
But there's a lot of people out there who are ready to fire him.
Yeah, well, you know what that is. That's the frustration fan thing that comes out. But the reality is he's not going anywhere. We all know that, I think.
And, you know, he should not go anywhere.
Yeah, well, you and I will have to have an discussion.
Yeah, that's a different discussion, but he should not be fired.
All right, Sal, you got it.
I'm trying out loud. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and there's a pandemic going on.
I hear you.
So I do not want to talk about firing anybody. But I think for Carson, it's almost getting to the point, right, where it's too late to really do it. So you better think about doing it pretty quick if you want to have any kind of impact on the young man.
I gotcha. Well, we'll see what happens. Sal, have a happy Thanksgiving, man. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I don't get a comfortable, uncomfortable.
Oh, you want a comfortable, uncomfortable?
All right.
Well, I'm going to give you two of them then. I'm going to go here with John Stewart.
Oh, gosh. I'm very comfortable. I was glued to his show. Very funny guy. So smart.
Okay.
Great insight. And, you know, the biting sarcasm. He was a great interviewer, too. You know, he had journalism chops to him.
He did. I'll give him credit for that. Now, I'll give you another one. Bill Maher.
I don't like the profanity.
Yeah, okay. All right, so he makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, the profanity makes me uncomfortable.
All right. Sounds good. All right, man.
Hey, listen, have a beautiful Thanksgiving with your family. Stay positive, test negative, and everybody stay safe.
All right, buddy. Brother? We'll talk to you.
All right.
There you go. Sal Pal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.